When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm just going to do a bit of the burp. Oh, pardon me, sorry.
I hope you got that on tape.
Sorry.
I think it's always nice to start a ladies' podcast with a big burp, don't you?
It really is, yes.
Come on.
I'm going to do a bigger one.
I mean, that's expert. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, mum, that was a little surprise.
Oh, right. Sorry.
We're like a couple of fellas, aren't we? No, we're not. We're like a couple of ladies in here to have a laugh.
Well, welcome. I mean, not welcome. This is your garden.
Welcome to my garden. Would you like to see how things have been growing?
I already can't believe what I can see.
Long, hot days in the shade of some big old tree. Making daisy chains and watching all the honeybees.
Well, Ari, I can see that you've put some amazing chicken wire here. So have you got badgers and foxes and rabbits?
Badgers. I mean, we're in the middle of London. It never occurred to me that we'd have a badger.
What was clearly happening was a quite, if I don't mind saying, heavy-footed. A fox needing to lose weight. So we put this construction of chicken wire around it, which seems, not entirely, but to sort of worked.
And so it's adding a structure to for the nasturtia.
Ooh.
That's the plural of nasturtium.
Ooh.
It's not nasturtiums, it's nasturtia. So the nasturtia are just decorative, unless you're one of those people who pop them in a salad.
Well, they're lovely in a salad, aren't
they? Nice and peppery, but have you tried
a little leaf?
I've had a nasturtium in my life, but I won't be doing it again.
You could even try one of those pods. Look, try the pod.
Do they taste nice?
Yeah, instead of capers.
Do you mind if I stick with capers? it's quite peppery when you go right through. But I'm still enjoying the juiciness of a caper.
Yeah.
Well, so look at my broad beans.
Oh, yes.
Which also look a bit diseased, but my broad beans, look, are coming through.
So, I notice your broad beans are quite tall, aren't they? And the tops have got some black fly on.
Yeah.
So have you pinched out the top at all of your broad beans?
No. Am I supposed to?
Yeah, so what you can do is this. So when you see
those who don't understand what this is, when they hear it on the radio, what she's doing is pinching, like pinching somebody's bottom that you were allowed to do in the 70s, not allowed to do now, pinching the top of the stalk. Is that right?
Yes. So where that black fly is, I just take the top off like that, pinch it out.
Why do we do that?
Because all the black fly, they all go to the top of the plant. So it's best
to
remove them.
Towards the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I have actually got some, you'll be pleased with me, organic pest spray.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't here, I'd just napalm it with any old toxic stuff.
Yeah, with nail varnish remover.
Yeah, nail varnish, yeah, whatever. I'd just dip it in, you know, nail varnish remover and petrol. Not at that price, but yeah. You know.
Well, petrol's always, you know,
can I take that
the wrong thing to use. You can pinch the top of that one, probably is okay. This pinch one? That one. Just pinch the whole thing off the top and then it'll just
where
encourage
from?
It.
Where from?
About there's fine, yeah.
And about there, again, for those who aren't able to visualise what there means on radio, we're talking about. It's important to use that tone when you're gardening. We're talking about 3 inches.
This is looking a bit spindly. I'd take the top off that, yeah.
Right from here?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, now we
take that off.
6 inches.
So that's fine. I think these ones at the back are sort of, you know, that one looks gasping for sunlight. It's sort of bending this way.
It's sweet the way they do that. They go,
But it's okay. Like everything's good. They've got little pods on.
Yes.
And they're growing nicely.
And this is called all year round spinach or evergreen spinach?
Perpetual spinach.
Perpetual.
Yeah. So some people, if they weren't covered in black fly, do eat the tops of the broad beef that you're growing.
Broad beef.
Well, in the future, we might be growing beef in our garden without actually killing animals, but not at the moment. We're growing broad beans. Some people do eat the tops.
Is that peppery like the nasturtium?
No. I mean, if you eat a little broad bean leaf, look, have a little taste.
This one, listeners, is without black fly.
And for those of you who don't know what eating sounds like, I'll do a bit. I sound like a cow chewing the colour. That tastes like a pea.
Yeah, so it's
or a bit like a broad bean,
yeah. Which I do like.
So there you go. You can eat the tops if you want, and they go lovely in a risotto if you just want to pad it out with your broad beans. You could then use the tops, chop them up nicely,
if they're a bit woody. Broad bean puree. Oh.
That is nice, isn't it?
What do they put it? They probably just put loads of cream in it to make it so delicious.
No, you don't.
Is it just creamy broad
beans?
It's
just creamy. It's just, you know, if you whip it up in the blender and with a bit of olive oil, it comes out so creamy. Mm. You can make like a hummus.
A hummus.
So you could actually...
A what?
A hummus.
Say it again?
A hummus.
A hummus. And what country does hummus come from? Mm. In your pronunciation, it's via Wales?
I don't know.
It's a Greek paste, via Wales, when Esther says hummus. I say hummus, which the kids also find very funny, because that's actually a bit of your body, isn't it?
Well, I thought hummus was like something that sort of grows, doesn't it? A hummus.
Well, I think it's... Oh, she's got a nasty hummus on her calf. Oh, don't
a
look
hummus.
At she's got to see the doctor. She's got an awful hummus on her backside.
I think that's a wart. So we've got this perpetual spinach. Harry's just taking the broad. You could put those in your risotto, Harry.
I'm not making a risotto, thank you very much.
But you're the queen of asparagus risotto.
I can. It's one of the very few things I can cook. But I hate cooking, as you know. In what way does perpetual spinach, which I thought I'd just planted spinach, in what way does perpetual spinach, please call her, differ from regular spinach?
OK, so it's not like the thick, you know, that thick, dense spinach that you get? That's one whole leaf is quite sort of meaty and robust.
Well, very great, yeah, very
irony
tasting.
But the thing
yeah.
is with that spinach, it grows really well over the winter in a sort of cooler time. So once it heats up, it does bolt. It bolts sometimes.
But that's no good. Nobody wants a bolted fruit, do they? And that's the one thing I do know.
That's right. Whereas your perpetual spinach, even if it bolts, it seeds and then it just comes back. You know, it keeps coming back.
And so. Is that my rocket? Because I've actually forgotten what I planted.
Yeah, well, you've planted some rocket here. That looks
like a rocket.
Very nice. And you've got it so well organised, Ali.
This is lettuce, right?
Yeah, that's the lettuce. We planted that, didn't we, down the sides?
Yeah. We also planted it down the... And that's some spring onion, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got some onion there.
Well, I'm not that keen on a spring onion. Perhaps I could sell them for £1 a bunch.
I think you could. You could get a store
recoup
outside.
Recoup the £700 it took me to build these veg. They're really going to pay off, aren't they? I mean, in about 30, 40 years, I really could be looking at some payback for this.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, gardening in a small space like this, you can end up spending more than what you
we'll
actually
spend at a supermarket,
reap.
Yeah.
But I think the long-term effects and the small difference that you can make by, you know, reducing your
carbon footprint
on the world.
That's a real bird. It sounds like we've overlaid it to make it sound as if we're in the middle of the country. No, we're actually in the middle of North London, but that was a beautiful bird. Thank you, bird.
Well, if you shoot that now, you could have that with
I don't
your
want to shoot
tonight.
Only shooting. The only thing I like to shoot is foxes, and don't send me a letter because if I had a gun, I would shoot them.
Well, I like them, and actually, I'm not surprised they sat on your spinach because it looks very nice and soft and spongy.
Well, that's actually because I picked some last night and popped it in my fish stew.
Oh, very good.
Which I shouldn't have been having because I have actually seen what's it called? Sea spiracy.
I know that's enough.
Don't.
That has actually put me off eating fish.
Well, even if you caught it yourself on the seashore.
Well, you know what? I went down to Hastings the other weekend and I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, this is going to be great, you know. There's going to be this fisherman coming back.
There's going to be a hipster fisherman.
Yeah, and he's got a net of fish and he's thrown all the babies into the sea as he's gone through the fishing net.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Well, that's what you're supposed to do when you're at sea. You remove all the fish, the baby fish, and you put them back in the sea. But no, not at this fisherman I saw. He was throwing all these baby dogfish, you know, that's the rock that you get in the fish and chip shops down by the seaside, throwing all these baby fish just on the beach, and the seagulls were eating them all.
He was throwing them onto the beach?
Yeah.
Why didn't you hit him?
I actually felt like hitting him over the head with...
What do you think? I mean, there must have been a method to his madness. He either doesn't care.
He didn't care.
Yeah, but he hasn't got a career of fish dry up, or whatever the word
well,
is.
Well, obviously he was rushing home to get his fish pie, or maybe just eat steak, I don't know, but it made me feel so sad. And that's why, if there's only one fisherman in a town that does that, it's
fisher
still
person,
like...
Fisher person,
if every town person. Has got a fisherman like that, then
fisher person.
In the whole world,
fisher
then
person.
That is bad. Yeah, fisher
person.
Person.
Serving
fisher person.
Plough person's
well,
lunch.
A fisherwoman wouldn't have done it, would she?
Now,
oh, what have you got
we're on
here?
To bed two. We're on to a plant, a really beautiful plant that looks like a scarabaeus.
Yeah, a bit like...
It looks like a nigella crossed with a... What's that one called?
Scabious.
Scabious.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's actually called a...
It's called Phacelius.
Phacelius,
Phacelia.
And the
Phacelia,
reason,
not Phacelius.
And it's
Phacelia.
Not an eating plant, no. It's a plant that attracts the bees, and the reason you want the bees is... Because they pollinate the veg.
That's right, yeah.
Thank you.
But, Ari, this other thing about Phacelia...
Which is, my name is Arabella Weir, but people who know me very well call me Ari, just FYI. Yes, because they go, why do you keep saying Ari? Is there a bloke there as well who's not saying anything that I'm interpreting for?
So this Phacelia is often used as well as a living compost. So in allotments, what happens is they plant all this Phacelia over the winter, say, or in the early spring, and then before it flowers, they dig it into the ground.
So they don't let it become a pretty flower?
No, so they just use it for the roots, gives, you know, maybe some nitrogen to the soil.
Why? Because it's leaves. A good plant for composting.
It's really good. Mm. I think you call it, it's a green manure because it's living, and you can use...
My son does that. My son can provide a green manure.
Can he?
Only after I fed him some literally picked in the middle of the country wild garlic. Mm-hmm. And we won't go into how I know this. He's 23. But it came out whole. He'd obviously not digested it. The whole wild garlic was floating in the pan. Oh. And I thought, he's either not got a very efficient system. Obviously, I didn't give it... I mean, it was in a risotto, actually, and I'd torn it up. But the whole leaf came out whole. There's a story for you.
Well, I hope he weren't watching when it came out.
Of course, no. What happened is, obviously, he'd flushed. He's not that much of a pig. But post-flush, again, speaks to the robustness of the wild garlic. There it was, floating on its own in the clean water. And I thought, that is some tough plant.
Yeah. Well, it is, isn't it? And it really does come up everywhere. But, yeah, so that's that. So what have we got here?
This is charred, cheek by jowl, if you like, with beetroot.
Lovely.
Do you know, I don't know which is which. I'm going to take a wild guess. Is the beetroot the one with the purple stems?
Well, look, I'll show you now. So, this is the beetroot, and that's got the purple vein
spine, yeah.
Going through and into the leaves.
It's pretty, isn't it?
Yeah. Here's your chard, and that's a yellow chard you've got, a rainbow Ooh. Chard it's called.
I love it when you don't know what you're planting.
Yeah.
And it's all discovery.
But also, Ari, before your beetroot grows...
Arabella Weir.
Before your beetroot grows, Arabella, look. Here, look. Try that as a leaf. You can put that in your salad.
Do people do that?
Yeah.
Now we're going to do 5 minutes of Arabella Weir chewing. You saw that on the internet, couldn't you? I've got to tell you.
You're chewing.
I'm not paying £12.50 for a salad with that in it.
Well, before you go on chewing any longer with that, because I gave you quite a big leaf, what you could put into your salad is a very small leaf like that. Now try that one.
Okay.
That's a nice little one.
It's about
one.
Half the size of the one I had before.
Now, if you lived in my house and you started chewing now, one of my daughters would put, like, the cornflake pack in front of you so she couldn't actually see you
What my son does is, if I've got something in my mouth and I so much as look as if I'm going to say something, he starts miming being sick. He goes, I mean, I'm like, you're making me physically sick. I mean, you're making me... And I went, for crying out loud, I'm just doing what the whole world does, which is, you know... Mm. Chatting with something in your mouth. Oof, madam. But
some people are very, very sensitive, aren't
No, it's only children. He doesn't do it with any... No, got to tell you, he didn't even like the smaller one.
So that's not good
I
for
won't
you.
Be doing that
All
in,
right, then.
In my recipe book.
But you can do it, and it does make a salad look a bit more colourful. So you've got your chard here.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very
I've eaten
very,
some of that and it was very good.
That's nice. And you can use that instead of spinach or you can use it in a risotto. It's a bit
that's
more
what
robust.
I wanted to ask you about this perpetual spinach.
Yeah.
Perpetual always makes me think of sort of Catholic, the order of perpetual indulgence. Mm-hmm. Does perpetual spinach and chard have the same health benefits? Or what's been, why do we eat spinach? It's got iron, is it?
Yeah, it's really iron, full of iron.
Do they have it as well?
Yeah, and it's very, very, it's lovely. It's more robust. And the stems, you can sort of braise them in the same way as you would do celery.
I love the way you talk to me. I mean, I barely know what braise means. Never mind do something. Oh, what will I do? I mean, I'm, you know, it's a great day if I manage to make a pasta sauce. But the idea that I'd go, oh, yes, I'll braise some chard. I come to your house for that stuff.
But, you know, when you do make a risotto, Harry, you are very good at making a risotto.
Yes, okay. So,
so you can, when you chop your onion up, you can put your stalks of your chard in, and then you can just fry that up with your onions
okay.
a bit, yeah.
Oh,
the beginning.
Okay, at the same time, right?
Yeah,
right.
And then you add your chard later. I make a lovely risotto, a charred risotto, and I put smoked cheese in, the smoked mozzarella. What's it called? The Italian one.
Is yeah. not the smoked one that's got a sort of like a nicotine stained skin.
It's like something.
I think in fact it's been smoked with fags.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why it tastes so good.
Well, it does nice, and sometimes it's in the shape of a pig, isn't it?
Oh, I've never had it in the shape of a pig, but yes.
Sometimes, I don't know why it's shaped it like a pig.
Have you seen now?
Oh,
what
you've got
wasn't
fennel,
here?
Yeah. Ooh,
what wasn't
good.
Here last time? Yes, thank you. Somebody came round with some bean shoots.
So you got...
I'm going to get bean shoots because I don't really know what they are, but... And,
yeah.
Built that. Look at that.
So
what do you make of them?
Yeah, it looks like you've got some... these looks like purple climbing beans that you've got here. Is that right?
Well, you'll have to... who knows?
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah.
What I like the way... It's rather sweet. No wonder someone came up with Jack and the Beanstalk. Because when we planted them, the friend that came round with these, they went, oh, I know you've got a veg plot, so I'll come round with them. Robert.
Yeah.
Robert. What was sweet is I went, you're not putting the canes anywhere near... the beans, and he said, no, don't worry, they find them. And it's almost that they've got eyes, and they go, right, I'm not that near, but I can sort of sense it. And then they whip themselves up the sticks.
That's right. So you've got, I think, you can see these purple stems. That looks to me like a purple climbing bean. And on the other side, you've got runner beans. And you've got
this one. After all that, I'm bigging up the bean's ability to find it. Oh, it's gone. It's only gone and nicked somebody else's seat. He's trying to climb up somebody else's pole. It won't do, will it?
Well, I don't think it'll matter, as long as it can climb up something.
It matters to me.
That's
I'm going to wind... You know when people, like you, when people go, don't talk like that in front of my cat, she doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's called anthropomorphizing.
My
favourite ones, some completely serious said to me, my dog's not talking to you. And I went, well, of course it's not, because it can't talk. And they went, oh, yeah, it can, just doesn't like you.
So you've been talking to these beans. Have they been talking back?
So that's called anthropomorphizing.
Yeah.
Is it? Anthropomorphizing. Is it anthropomorphizing? I don't think there's two fers in there. I think it's anthropomorphize.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when the plants annoyed me, like going up the wrong mm-hmm. one,
yeah.
I go, look what you've done, you little bugger. What's that, Esther? I think that was uninvited.
That looks like a marigold. It's a calendula.
Well, I might have done that. Oh, look at these. Look, this is covered in black doodah. Don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get my...
Well, it's because it's been a bit warm and it's...
Shall I get my spray out? It is organic.
Well, let's see then.
OK. Go and get the spray. It's just a little bit of petrol mix with some nail
varnish. But Arabella Weir, who's just now going into the shed, this black fly will be eaten by ladybirds. What we like to do is encourage ladybirds to the garden...
Not if it's going to be at the cost of my...
Yeah, so the only problem is if you start to use the bug spray, then none of the bugs come, and then, you know, in the end, you end up with...
Oh, that's a shame, as I'm spraying.
Yeah.
But if you... Listeners, I don't want any letters from bug lovers.
But if you're patient, the ladybirds come, and then they nibble and feast on all the
bug fly. I found that that's actually not true. They don't come. You lay out, you know... It's like putting a light in the window for your long-lost husband. They just don't come, do they? And I'm not going, oh, yes, bugs all over the shop, no problem. And then they go, well, where's those ladybirds? What were supposed to be here eating them? Oh, no, let the ladybirds come.
So have you ever sprayed a long-lost husband with that bug clear?
Oh, do you think that's why I'm divorced? Because I use the bug spray. Oh, I never thought of that. I never put those two things together.
And what happened when you did spray him with the book spray?
Disappeared. Never heard from him since. What a lovely idea. I'm going to invent that. The husband. The go-away husband.
Yeah.
The naff-off husband. Well, how would you do it? It would be a spray. That would have petrol and nail varnish remover. Now, I want to ask you a serious question. What... Look, it's 100 years ago. I'm living in, I don't know, making it up, Hertfordshire. Mm-hmm. And this is my veg plot. And I genuinely rely on it. And I can't get to a... There are no supermarkets and stuff. What did they do about bugs and stuff?
Nature usually sorts out bugs. But
nature bought you a potato blight.
It doesn't always work. Some people put companion plants in, like,
Is that what the marigold, do you think, is doing?
Yeah.
Is that weren't me?
So we were trying to attract the right sort of bugs to come and help, you know, manage all this. Now, it doesn't always work, and that's why you can get, you know, blight and all that sort of thing. But in the end, if you've got really good soil, really good compost, plants usually look after themselves. If they're not growing properly, if the soil's not good, they send a message out to all the bugs to say, look, this
don't
soil's
even bother.
Rubbish.
Don't come around here.
No, they're just saying, come and eat me now because this soil's rubbish and it's never really, I'm never really going to make anything
good. Oh, I'm not going to thrive here.
Yeah.
But of course, now that we're growing in the way that we are, and people, you know, producing and wanting to fill nurseries and stuff, people don't have the patience to go, oh, well, this crop didn't work next year, but the bugs will sort it out. That's overproduction, isn't it?
Well, it is. But I think, really, we are trying to listen to the planet, aren't we? We're trying to listen to nature. We need to really listen to the bugs, because if we stop spraying things and we manage things...
She says, holding up her toxic pesticide, which I'm not even trying to sell... I'm not even going to mention the name.
Hold on, let's have a look. Oh, my God.
It might not be organic. Don't look at it too much.
Oh, dear.
I definitely used organic, what are they called? Slug pellets.
Yeah.
At enormous personal cost, as my dad used to say, and I used to think, is there another kind of cost? Yeah. But I did use organic slug pellets because I thought, well, that's right in direct contact with the food. And I might live to regret using this.
Yeah, well, I think you will live to regret that, because you are spraying it onto your vegetables. And what's in it?
Well, I might wash them.
Let's have a look. Let's just have a look what's in it.
Don't have a look.
Oh, God. Let's see.
I will be mowing the lawn because I've stuck to the no-mow May, but, of course, now it looks like a field.
Right. Do not eat or drink or smoke when using this product.
Or look someone directly in the eye.
Right.
Or wear rubber, plastic, inflammable. You know that
so
thing
basically,
when... You know when it used to say on your nightie in the 70s, it would say, do not go near a naked flame wearing this nightie. And you think... Yeah, what on earth's going to happen there? You're going to go... There was nothing but naked flame in the 70s.
Right, now, contains...
Toxic things that Esther doesn't like. Oh, stop it, Esther. Who cares?
Well, you care, Arabella.
I do care a bit.
You do. So, Arabella, there's a little job for you to do today.
No, there isn't. If you're going to say... Harvest them potatoes.
I'm not saying to harvest them. What I'm saying is you've got to mound them up. You planted them into the trenches.
Somebody else who saw it, who knows a little bit less than you about veg growing, said he'd never seen such big plants.
Yeah, because what's happened is that they've all grown very, very tall. But what you do is you try to suppress the growth with the potato.
Why?
By mounding it up about three times, and then it creates more shoots underground.
Oh.
And then you get more tubers. So what you can do...
And is a tuber effectively a potato?
Yeah.
Right.
So what you do... Do you remember you made these mounds here, right?
Yeah, I can see them in my trenches.
So this is what the mounds are for, okay? So you mound up the potato like this. So in this mound, then, there'll be some little shoots and more potatoes will grow.
I've mounded them up, I would say, at least twice.
Okay, then.
I have followed your instructions.
All right, then, okay.
I've done my trench, I've created my mini passion dell.
So you could, in the next week, you've got that trench there, that ditch. So in the ditch...
Between my two rows of potatoes.
So in that ditch, just dig a little bit deeper and put a little bit more onto your mounds, okay?
Either way, I mean either side.
So then as much as you can like that, get the mounds up and then you'll have more potatoes.
God knows how much it cost me to make these two veg patches. We could be looking at, what, half a pound of potatoes? I mean, if you broke down my veg patch, it's costing, I mean, I'd be getting it shipped in from Harrods in individual consignments and it would still be less expensive, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
but that's not the attitude.
No. How is it making you feel, this gardening project?
I don't mind admitting. Mm-hmm. It's making me feel very good and I love it. But mm-hmm. I don't mind admitting, a bit like, do you remember when you were exhausted and you had little children mm-hmm. and you thought, please, just on this occasion, I wish I had a wet nurse or something mm-hmm. or a maid. Occasionally I sit here and I think, please, can I not have to water it? Okay, in fact, yeah. Every night that I'm watering, I think of you and your allotment, because I think, not only does Esther have to water her own garden, she's got to get up the allotment, and that's up a steep hill on a day when you're exhausted.
But also,
but otherwise, it's giving me satisfaction.
OK, so you don't need to water this every single day.
Love those words. Okay. Thanking yeah. you.
All right, then. So, really, because, you know, plants can survive with, you know, without you watering them every day. And if you keep watering just the surface of the soil, then the roots don't really go down, deep down into the soil. Nothing. And I know you've got a... Have you got a lining underneath
FYI,
the soil?
FYI, listeners, that turns out not to be true with children. They do have to be watered every day. Because if you leave them unwatered, oh, it's hell to pay.
All the ice cream vans now here.
I know, it's not very nice.
Are you going to buy plants and ice cream?
No. Oh, he doesn't do very nice ice creams. And I saw him use a shotgun on arrival once, so that was quite amusing. It was a long time ago. It was hilarious. I just moved into the area 30 years ago, and I had ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, you know, and I came, mummy. And then I had, you know, another one, and then lots of shouting and screaming. And I thought, oh, it's just like Glasgow in the 60s. It was literally called the Ice Cream Wars in Glasgow because all the rival ice cream vans. But here we are in North London. And I popped my head out, and one of them had gone a shotgun from underneath the ice cream counter. And I thought, sawn off shotgun as well. And I thought, oh, wonder why he keeps that with his ice cream. And I don't think any shots were released, but there was a lot of, no, it's my patch, it's your patch, it's my patch, it's your patch. And now we only have one. So guess what? The guy with the shotgun won. It's a cash business.
No. Well, yeah. Our ice cream man, when I was little, we had Mr. Softy used to come round our estate and he used to sell
it wasn't
us...
really called Mr. Softy, do you know that, Esther?
It was called Mr. Softy.
No, that wasn't
and he
his
sold
real
us
name.
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes?
Yeah, cheap cigarettes to kids.
Anything else?
Well, we only used to buy the cheap cigarettes and then we used to go and smoke them.
What, and no ice cream?
Oh, we used to sometimes have ice cream, but we mainly bought... Well, no, we didn't mainly buy cigarettes, but he did sell cigarettes and various other things. It was when I was like about eight, so he didn't sell any drugs to me.
Into the drugs yet? So just the fags. I mean, at eight, you would just want to be on fags, don't you? It's a little bit early
yeah,
for the drugs.
We did start smoking at that age, and we used to buy a pack and then go on the building site and smoke them.
You were quite literally brought up in the on the M1 in a shoebox, weren't you?
My mum used to say when I was annoying her, go and play on the motorway, but it was only a joke.
Yeah, but your mother was, much like mine, your mother was a bit of a caution.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Do you know when to harvest the potatoes, Harry?
When they're ready.
How will you know that?
Not a clue.
Okay, so...
I've got to do my remounding,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, so when you're... So you've got a flower here, mm-hmm. so that means that underneath
pretty
the ground,
right, yeah.
things are going well and there has
excellent.
Been...
Does it mean that things are going badly, that none of the other potato plants have got a flower?
Well, they all need to flower. That's the first thing.
Oh, right. Everything has to flower. Yeah. OK, right.
And then you'll start to see that the leaves, I mean, all these are very green now and they look lovely. But by about August, these leaves will start to turn a bit yellowish, and then you'll think, well, the plant's done its job.
Right,
It's had enough and the potatoes will be ready. And they stay in the ground for some time, so even if you didn't pick them till Christmas Day, they'd still be fine.
You just leave them in the ground. And do you get rid of the, whatever you call these, the stalks?
Well, you'd pull that up, and on the bottom would be lots of little potatoes.
No, but if you were planning to, for whatever reason, leave them in the ground till Christmas Day, I don't know, you just decided, would you literally just leave it like this? And you wouldn't do anything with the top bits, the leaves?
Well, what would happen is all those top bits would all just fall flat onto the soil and they'll just, you know, they'll just rot into the ground. So you know, you can leave them until that point and they'll usually be fine under the soil.
I always think of potatoes as a winter vegetable.
Hmm.
So presumably it isn't just August you can harvest potatoes. They must be all year-round vegetables.
Well,
vegetables.
Do you know what potatoes these are?
Pink fur.
Great.
My fave.
We bought them round here, didn't we? The pink fur potatoes.
Yeah, you brought them round here in a paper bag. Looking a little bit manky, frankly.
Well, they are a bit manky to start with, because they're seed potatoes and then they've got all the tuber, all the little chittings come off them.
It's just like it was an open goal. It's not even a very sophisticated joke, is it? But it is a bit of an open goal. So you chit them. Oh, who doesn't like a chit?
Everyone likes a chit.
A good chit.
A good chit is a good thing, isn't it?
See, I'm gonna weave that into a live show. See if that doesn't bring the house down.
Well,
I'll bring on a rancid old potato and said, oh, I've just had a good chit. See? Excellent. That's an opener right there.
You are the master of gardening now.
No, I'm not. What I am is you are the mistress and I am your willing grasshopper. I am your, what do you call it? Your supplicant. Your
succulent.
Supplicant, you know, as in the church. I respond to your teachings. Now, what's that? I call that a decorative... Oh, wait a minute. I think I know that one. Is that a decorative chive? Have I made that up?
No, that's a Californian poppy, looks to me. Yeah.
So close, wasn't it, with a decorative chive? I mean, there was nothing in it. Decorative chive.
So I think you've got a few little plants here.
Are they what they call complementary sacrificial plants? No.
No, I think that's just for a bit of decoration.
Right.
Just to go back to potatoes quickly, because you've got this lovely soft soil, be able to put your gardening gloves actually and put your hand in, feel around for a nice potato and just pick them. So you'll be able to pick them yourself.
You pick them out and leave the root intact.
You can do that, yeah.
And then will it grow another one?
Yeah, the plant will continue to grow. So if you were desperado one night, got nothing to eat, you can put your hand in the soil, just feel around. If there's any lumps and bumps, pull them out. I know you've been doing lots of interesting things lately. Can you tell us about it?
Well, I literally yesterday come back from Kirkcaldy in Fife, which is just, in case people don't know, over the road from Edinburgh.
What were you doing there?
Well, that's where my dad is from. And I got involved through former Prime Minister Gordon Brown with trying. Kirkcaldy's very poor. And he asked me if I'd help get, because I know the area so well, whether I'd get involved in trying to do a festival of ideas to sort of basically get my famous friends to come in and, you know, like with all these things, make people feel proud of Kirkcaldy. And, I mean, if that didn't do it... No, you didn't have to top me, so I could have just woven that. Nobody would have noticed if you hadn't tried to do it yourself.
Sorry.
So before the pandemic, we'd had Eddie Izzard, we'd had Ed Balls, we'd had David Tennant, and then the pandemic happened, and then this weekend we had Joanna Lumley.
Mm-hmm.
And she was absolutely, I'm not going to say fabulous, but she was really, what a trooper. Because the mic didn't work, so it was her and me in conversation. So we'd organised it so that, you know, people in Kirkcaldy could put in questions and then I'd ask them. But she'd do sort of 10 minutes as an answer to everything, and that was very good fun. And then I've been doing this big walk for Their World, this charity that was started by Sarah Brown after her baby died to sort of, well, really for education, worldwide education. And I was supposed to do 26 miles over the course of June, but I've already done 42.
Flipping out.
Because I'm so amazing, except I'm feeling a little bit worse for wear.
Well, I have been on a walk with you, Ari, and you are a real trooper. I mean, I started walking with you, but I just couldn't keep up, and you always got really cross with me because I was quite slow. And
You are a bit slow.
You always walk so fast. And then
well,
you
I
get,
found out, slightly depressingly, if you're doing as I do, and walking is the only exercise I've sustained for as long as... I don't mean the time I'm walking. I mean, you know, the time in my life, which now is about 2.5 years. So no other exercise have I sustained. Walking's basically a complete waste of time unless you sweat. I mean, literally walking to the shops and back, even if the shop was a mile away, I've found out unless you get your heart rate up, there's no point in doing it. Mm. I mean, obviously it's better than sitting still, but that is why I like to... get a jog on, as they say. But yes, it can be. I now walk with an old friend, Sue.
Can she cut up?
She's got much longer legs than me, and she really, and I'm like I mean, that's just like, you know, walking along the road. So
am I probably the worst person you've ever been out walking with?
I think you're the worst person in every sense of anything I've ever No, you're not the worst person by any means. You might be the worst at this, but you're the best at that. You might be, I mean, you're the best cook I know.
Oh, you are
fantastic. And the best gardener.
You know
gardener.
A lot of very good cooks. You went on holiday with Giorgio Locatelli. I mean, come
okay,
on.
Okay, he is might be a better cook than you. he cooked for
you
us
see,
twice.
You're just flattering me.
No, okay, he's a professional cook. You're the best non-professional cook I know, and you could definitely be a professional cook.
Well, I think my days of... I'd move
very quickly. I need to clarify, I didn't actually go
kitchen.
On holiday with Giorgio Locatelli. He was the guest of... the host who's invited me, because it makes it sound like me and Giorgio went on holiday together.
Oh, I wish I could go on holiday with Giorgio Locatelli. I'd just eat like gnocchi all day long. And...
Might not be gnocchi. He, like most of us, though, like anybody whose job it is, gets a bit sort of, oof, not more cooking.
I know, but he's so very nice, isn't he?
He's lovely.
Everybody likes a chef, don't they, to snuggle up to?
I don't know that that's true, actually, because when you say chef... I think of sort of shouty, horrible bully types like, I imagine, not, you know, Gordon Ramsay, because, I mean, certainly his persona is the opposite. I mean, it's kind of, you know, Sergeant Major, kind of do this, and you just think, my God, why would anybody want to be in a kitchen being spoken to like that?
Well, maybe they don't, but I don't think Giorgio's like that. So how about Three Doors Down? Oh, sorry, how about Two Doors Down?
Well, I'm going to be in a show called Three Doors Down. No, we're adding another door. We're doing the new series of Two Doors Down that we made during the pandemic with some difficulty. It starts on the 12th of July. And then the day before the new series starts, we start shooting the next series. So that'll be series 6 and a Christmas special. And that'll be out. So the TV show will start on the 12th of July. That will go on for 6 weeks, and then we'll have made the next one, which will start straight away. So I'll never be off the telly for a while. And people go, oh, it's you again. Oh,
I think they all love you. It's a very successful series, isn't it?
Yes, Two Doors Down is very popular.
When they come to your house where you film, do you allow them to flush the toilet, or do you say flushing of the toilet?
Good question, actually, Esther, because you know me well enough to know that would be an issue for me if it were really my house. But A, it's not really my house, and guess what? The loos don't flush because they're television loos. So when someone says, here, I'm just going to eat a toilet, there is no... They just go into a room with a toilet that you can film, but it's not plumbed in. Okay. So I don't... That's one thing I don't have to worry about. Listen, I've just been listening, because I don't mind admitting I love it. I've just been catching up with the latest omnibus of The Archers, and somebody said scones, as in tea and scones.
Yeah.
And I thought... I actually genuinely found myself thinking, is there literally nowhere in life I can rely on without having to interfere? Now I've got to write a letter to the person who edits The Archers.
What about...
Say, don't flush your toilet when it's just wee, and don't say scones, because it's not scones.
It's scones.
It's scones, and everybody knows that.
Well, not everybody knows it, Ari. Not everybody knows.
And you know what they'd write about? They'd say, no, that's her character. She would get it wrong. Do you remember? Well, you don't remember. But when I used to do that makeup lady, the South African makeup lady in the Fast Show, and she had the terrible makeup, and the part of the joke was that I'd seen a woman in a very famous department store with exactly that thing, where she'd done the makeup right to the jaw, a deep orange, her foundation right to the jawline, and then left everything else a different colour, her real colour. I was thinking, she's trying to sell me expensive makeup. I mean, who on earth thinks that it's supposed to stop here like a mask, you know, on your jawline? And then while the makeup artist and I, who really got on, she was so brilliant, Jane Walker, while we were creating this character's look, I said, oh, what about if she's got a bit of lipstick on her teeth as well? And she was from just outside Edinburgh, and she went, no, because people will think that we've made that mistake. Whereas with the tide line on her jaw line, she went, they'll know we're saying this is classy makeup, as according to the character. But she was right. The whole way people would have gone through. So I wonder if... As I was about to write my urgent missive to Dear Radio 4, I've just been listening to the Archer's Omnibus, and I'm afraid a character said scones instead of scones. And then I thought, oh, what if I get a thing back? A, I might get nothing back. Or B, I might get, yeah, it's a character thing, and then I'd be embarrassed.
You would, yeah. But what about this character that you're telling us about? Can you do an impersonation of the one that you're...
The South African one, that's not a problem, because I've always got that accent absolutely at the tip of my fingertips, or even my tongue. I got that character off a friend of mine's mother-in-law, who was a very bitter, angry woman. And when my friend was getting married to her son, she said, we were all like trying to pick the dress and everything, and she said, you want to know what? My wedding day was the unhappiest day of my life. We're all standing around going, oh, that's nice. And she goes, do you know why? Everybody thought I was the mother of the bride. She wasn't a happy woman. But when I heard her speaking, and she also said, well, we were sort of trying to make conversation with her, and we were sort of, somebody did that thing. It was like a Christmas game or something. Someone said, oh, where would you most like to live? And the first person went, oh, I'd love to live on a hot beach, you know, where there's no job to do all day long or something. And the next person said, oh, I'd love to live in a... This was like 20 years ago. I'd love to live in a war-free world. And it got to her and she went, well, I'd like to live in the old South Africa. The whole place went... And she went, well, you know, I'm not a racist. It's just that, is my maid my friend now? Is she allowed in the front door? I mean, nobody knows where they are in the new South Africa.
Oh, God.
And it was like, oh, right. So, and then I thought, I was listening to it, and I thought, that is such a brilliant accent. A, such fun to do. But also, I thought, you'd never expect anything nice to come out of the mouth of someone who speaks like that. Well, would you? So I'm going to say goodbye now. Please leave my house because I don't like you anymore.
All right, then we're best gone.
No offence. That was her catchphrase, wasn't it? No offence. And I'll water the garden when I feel like it. Thank you very much.
Well, good luck with that, and I hope it goes well.
Dear listeners, in the podcast you've just listened to, all the views were Arabella Weir's own, and they were said in jest, thanking you.
You are a good sport. And I'll call you up
whenever I'm feeling down. Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton, Andy Goddard and John Wakefield. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy May Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from the hive. Queen Bees is a Hattrick podcast. It feels so
good just to have you around. Arabella's got a very, very tall hedge.
Bush.
A bush. She's got a very big bush that's grown out of control.
The jokes you can get out of bush.
It's unstoppable. So maybe for a next episode we could come and help you...
Oh, do you know what?
Trim your bush.
Trim my bush.
But we've got to wait, really.
Here on Queen Bees, Trim My Bush with Arabella Weir.
But, you know, it's great forage for the bees.
We're joining Monty Don and Arabella Weir as they trim her bush.
Oh, wow, that'd be a very good
episode. Monty Don tucks
into
Arabella's bush. See what's inside Arabella's bush.
I'm feeling moist.
Next week, see what's hiding inside Arabella's bush.